Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Joining me today, Matt Cunningham, at man, they call Mac on Twitter, running off the screen podcast, running through the thick with my foes. That's what I'm reminding me of. How are you doing, man? How are things?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Doing well, doing well. You have, I love your podcast. It's got a vibe to it. It's got a little bit of a late night with Mac kind of feeling to it. I met you in Summer League along with some of the other Raptor Republic guys, and you told me about your pod, and I was like, man, this is a nice little vibe here. And then you did some stuff on Gary Trent Jr., and he was next up on the list for me of players to talk about. So I'm happy that you could join me. It's a fun chat about a player that had a bit of a down year last year, along with a few other Raptors, but he decided to opt in, right? Which was a bit of a surprise, maybe initially, but then when you think about it in a bigger picture, like, okay, he's coming off a down year. The money is going to be going up, up, up and away in the NBA, and he could probably benefit from betting on himself a little bit and seeing if he can have a better year, because it wasn't a great reflection of his skill set, along with a few other Raptors, because last year was a disgrace. Yeah. So that's how she goes. So, but there was some growth from him last season. It wasn't all bad. So where did you see growth from Gary this past season?
Well, to me, he had a similar impact on the court than he did the year prior, if we're comparing. Although he was almost as productive when we look at the stats, but he played lesser minutes in a lesser defined role. Now, I'm not sure if this falls under growth, because it seems like he's always coming with a professional approach towards the team, but yeah. I commend him for staying professional throughout the struggles and trade clouds hovering over the roster all season. And when you look at the players, what they dealt with, he was dealt one of the tougher hands out of the bunch. You know, starting one night, playing 35 minutes a game. Two nights later, he's coming off the bench playing 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Where it was clear as day that he was he had a trait that we really needed, the shooting ability. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a bunch of reasons why Nick Nurse may have limited it. It could have been defensive matchups. Maybe he wanted more playmakers and whatnot. But
more 6'9" guys on the court.
I need more 6'9".
More.
But yeah, it seems like minute distribution, it was the thing. It's not even about him starting. It's more so staggering the lineups a little bit more. And I think that would have given him a better path to grow as a player.
Yeah. And I made the joke about Nick Nurse, but I think, I mean, also Nick, at later on in the season, he had mentioned that Gary was being as professional as he possibly could be throughout the season. Now, granted, at the end of the season, during his end of season presser, someone had mentioned, a reporter had mentioned, like, you know, Nick had called you out once, and he's like, yeah, called me out a few times, actually. And I don't know where those two are right now, but obviously, Gary, his role was up and down. He was coming off the bench. He was starting. Then once Yak came in the door, he was going to start, of course. And that just put him definitely on the bench. And also, I mean, it just took his role really away. And, you know, you look at the minutes distribution, you know, during like that latter part of the season, and it was just going, sometimes it was 20, sometimes it was 21, other times it was 25. And it was pretty much based off, if he came in and made shots, he got minutes. And if he didn't, then he was in that kind of category of rotation players or bench players that, if you perform, you get minutes. But before, it wasn't like that for him. Even when he was coming off the bench, there was still like a baseline of 25, 26. And I'm sure that was tough for him. And that last game of the season, the play-in game, I mean, that was probably one of the worst games we've seen from him. And I was watching him really closely throughout that game, because he was missing shots that he typically makes, and his body language wasn't terrific. And it just seemed like it was kind of all kind of coming down on him to a degree. But as I said, I mean, there was areas where he did grow a little bit. So compared to the previous season, he was 9% better in the restricted area, 7% better in the non-restricted area paint, 3% better on his pull-up jumpers. His floaters got a little bit better. His long mid-range twos went down. His corner threes, actually, it's interesting that, you know, he doesn't take a lot of corner threes. Most of his shots, although he is a stationary spot-up shooter for a kickout pass from Pascal Siakam, most of them are above the break. And he still shot pretty well from there. It was pretty comparable to the previous season, but his pull-up three-point shot did go down about 5%. And you know, that was one of the cool things about his jump shooting the previous season, is that he was able to hit some of those pull up threes, especially when the Raptors were, you know, going through injuries, and he just kept them afloat at times. And I was doing content around like the hot streak that Gary Trent Jr. was on, but you know, last season it just wasn't like that. And he had December, January, he shot 46%, 39% from three, but then post All-Star, he averaged 27 minutes, 40% field goal percentage, and 37% from three. So it was a bit up and down for him, but I think going into this upcoming season, you know, a different vision, a different coach, he's probably going to benefit from that alone. And we'll have to see where things go with Pascal Siakam and also just with the roster overall, but you could definitely say that he's going to be in that top six. And from there, I mean, he's going to be in a better spot along with, you know, other players to get a higher usage. But one of his areas where he's still trying to learn, and I did mention that he got better around the restricted area, but his driving and his rim finishing, where is he at with that right now? And are there ways that he can get more cerebral as a downhill threat, in your opinion?
Yeah, I'll start by saying we know how Gary plays. He likes to get the ball with minimal amount of dribbles and get into a jump shot. You know, yeah. If it's off the catch, he'll do a jab, cross step, 1-2 dribble pull up off a step back or a sidestep. But when doing that with the roster we had, there's not much flow, spacing, movement around him to create the lanes to drive effectively. Given his skill set, he's not Kyrie Irving out there dribbling the ball, right? So when we look at the last season, per 75 possessions, Gary shot the ball at the rim 2.3 times, you know, and which put him in the 24th percentile. And he wasn't great at passing or creating for others when driving the ball as well. But to his credit, he shot, I think it was 64% at the rim on drives. And he had quality looks when he did shoot at the rim. Now, the offense needed way more movement and spacing again. I think the word of the day is movement when we look at how this offense is going to work. But it just needed more movement to keep things off balance for defenses and generate more of those lanes. So obviously, aside from better schemes, continuing to improve on his conditioning to maintain that movement we're talking about to clear space, even for his shooting as well, is something that he could build on. He could also build on his physical strength to help him burst into drives and play through contact a bit more. Developing a tighter handle will definitely play his part. But I feel like there's enough there in his handle that if he's a bit more decisive and locked in on the overall matchups in front of him on the court, he'll be able to get more of those shots at the rim. And there was a quote from Coach John Wooden. He's like a UCLA, one of the greatest coaches ever. He said, be quick, but don't hurry. And I think that's a great way to look at making decisive and sharp decisions on the court for Gary to work off.
I like that. I mean, with him, the talent is definitely there, but it's about, to your point, it's like learning how to utilize screens and creating that contact and then understanding what space is around you and knowing how to use the edges that you have. It may not be a huge edge, but it's not always going to be. For a lot of players, it's not a huge edge, but they're able to burst through, like you said, in isolation. He was in the 22nd percentile for his position. So isolation isn't his strong suit. And I believe there's better pull-up shooting with him next season coming forward. But still, the ball handling has to get a little bit tighter, a little bit stronger, a little bit more confident. And certainly, I mean, just being able to be strong down in the paint. Like, he's 6'5", but he doesn't really feel like it all the time. You know, it feels like he's like 6'3" or something like that. And if he's able to, you know, understand his size and being able to do that, it's probably more of a strength thing, right? More than anything, like the burst may not always be there for every single player, and that's okay. Not every single player has that kind of speed, but being strong with the ball is in the control of each player. And, you know, Mark Jones, he had mentioned, you know, during Summer League that Gary's been doing two-a-days for a long time now. You mentioned it on your podcast too. He's been working very hard. This is a huge year for him. This is like kind of a career-defining year for Gary Trent Jr. And I'm sure he understands the expectations that are going to be put on him to, you know, get that big payday. A person that you compared him to in terms of trajectory and also process and concerning the new head coach is Desmond Bane. I want to get more detail on what you saw from that connection.
Well, I tried to tie it into the fact that Darko was coming over. He came from Memphis. Desmond Bane was compared to Gary Trent a lot during his draft process as somebody who couldn't shoot the ball off the catch and just be a good sniper for your team, stationary shooters and whatnot. And seeing his development and then Gary come and then Darko coming over to Gary now, it seems like it's a good transition for him to develop his game. Now, we know Gary is a tough shot maker, and the Raptors didn't have many of those last season. So Nurse kind of used that as a way to stick him in the corner, like you mentioned, and put him on the perimeter to create more space for Fred and Pascal to go to work. But I think to help his development, to kind of get that trajectory that Bane has, I would think it's more beneficial, again, to use movement, to swing the ball more, and just touch the ball, even if it's not in a situation where he has to score. You know, maybe those hockey assists, those quick handoffs, you know, just to keep him connected and what's going on the floor. In a similar way, Grizzlies did that to Desmond Bane, where he went from 2.7 assists a game to 4.4 assists. And it doesn't seem like a lot, like just the extra couple of assists, but that those things add juice to your offense. It provides more confidence and more connection between the coach and the players, building a better relationship to your young players to find themselves. And especially in a season where our guard depth and playmaking from that spot was questionable. Mm-hmm. Empowering a guy like Gary that's proven himself to be a rotational piece, like we said, he's like a top six guy on our team, by getting him to find guys like Fred, OG on drawn up catch and shoot attempts on a higher volume seemed like it was worth an honest try, you know. So if we can get Gary, because I think throughout his career he hasn't averaged more than two assists a game, you know, that's rough for a guard, right? And sure. if we can get him to 3.5 or 4 assists a game, if we're being greedy, to me that would mean that the offense is humming, because he's not your first option, he's not your second option as a playmaker. So those 3-4 assists a game for your projected fourth option would be great. So that's what I see coming from it. And again, without Fred being there, the ball handling responsibilities will be distributed, and I think that's where, again, Bane benefited from Morant not being there all the time. He had to kind of get jolted into that position to be more of a playmaker.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And the playmaking of Gary, I mean, I think most would look at him as a person who's more of a shoot first kind of mentality, but I challenge it to the extent that I think his job with the Raptors has been to put the ball in the hoop a lot, right? Like that's what he was asked to do. That's why he's, you know, planted in certain spots on the court, because they say most of the shot clock is going to be used with these other guys to create the opportunities. And then we need you, you know, I was trying to look it up while we were talking, because it just occurred to me to look at how many shots he was taking in the late shot clock situations, but it's not really working. Damn you, NBA.com. However, I would bet that there are a lot of them are in those situations where he's being asked to, you got to make something happen. And he is a tough shot maker. Pascal Siakam has talked about it. Kyle Lowry mentioned it when he was with the Raptors, that this guy just makes tough shots. You have that ability already. So also I would think for Gary's like psyche, he can get his pull-up jumper off against anyone. We saw him hit a pull-up game tying shot over Brooke Lopez. Brooke freaking Lopez. All right. Yeah. So he can get that shot.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss
against anybody. And that's got to be a tough one for a player to kind of, you know, mentally, you know, tune themselves that, okay, so this is a situation where I don't take this pull-up shot, but this is a situation where I do it. So that's something that he has to wrestle with too. But I did look at the footage over the past few days, and I did see him making, like, you know, some pretty decent reads. And if he is a higher usage player, higher usage playmaker with the Toronto Raptors, I think he'll get to that point. And also, you know, getting downhill, getting to the free throw line more, there was stretches of the season where he was doing that, but then he became the spot up guy. Free throws went away. The assists went away. But I think there's been plenty of situations where he's shown us that he's willing to pass the ball. It's just, there has to be an offense that allows that to happen. And I think, you know, Darko, we can get into it now, but how do we want to see Gary use this upcoming season? What are ways that we can get a better version of Gary Trent Jr.?
And any team that wants to get shooters open should watch a ton of film of how, let's say, Golden State utilizes Clay and Steph. Now, he's not Clay or Steph, but if you want to get them open looks, they use things like staggered screens. Also, one of my favorite plays that I love to watch are elevator screens, you know, the ones that Mark Jackson used a lot with them. With his time with the Warriors, and a lot of college teams use that. And I just want to see him run stuff where he's going downhill, you know, maybe off dribble handoffs again. And since the scouting report has him, like we mentioned, he's a scorer. He's going to score. We have him spotted up in the area. He's going to shoot at will. You can throw off the defense a little bit more by throwing those things into the mix and make things a little less predictable for him. And again, it's about keeping him engaged. If you just park him in a corner and say, okay, just wait till the ball gets to you, it's not really a fun style of basketball to play. And I know it's like, okay, you're a millionaire, just do your job. But at the end of the day, the offense wasn't working that way anyway. So might as well add, again, the key word of the day, movement, to unlock another level of his potential and the Raptors offense as a whole.
Yeah. He was 1.22 points per possession on handoffs and 0.86 points per possession as a ball handle and pick and rolls. Now, I don't think the Raptors are going to use too much pick and roll this upcoming season, but if you were going to, Gary Trent Jr. has a skill set to use pick and rolls if that pull-up three does turn around the corner. Like, you mean Pascal Siakam, Scottie Barnes don't really have the pull-up shot. And I think it's important for any person who is a ball handler in pick and roll situations, you got to have that pull-up three. Like, that's just like a must, but he's shown that he can have that. So if they are able to tap into that more, and also, like you mentioned, elevator screens, like exit screens, Chicago actions, like it's the dribble handoff stuff with a Jakob Poeltl with a Scottie Barnes. That's how you get the best out of Gary Trent Jr. because now he's moving into the ball. He's heading to the center of the floor. And now that his mid-range shot does pop off a little bit more. And the other stuff where he is going to be the spot up guy, like his chemistry with Pascal Siakam is already there, assuming Pascal is in fact there, but they're going to find each other along with Scottie Barnes. He's going to find Gary Trent Jr. And also Scottie can do DHOs with Gary as well. Like those, like that kind of pairing is important, but also on Gary's end, now you have to know how to use Jakob Poeltl and Scottie Barnes. And that is the timing of the screens. That's the spacing and in which you're incorporating your body into those small windows. And also, are you able to find those guys rolling to the basket? Like those kinds of things are really important for him. And also, I think it would benefit Gary if he became a better screener, and knowing how to use screens to get your own shot. Fred got really good at it, right? Steph Curry and Fred learned from Steph Curry. Not saying he's going to be Steph Curry, but that is a great way, right, to open yourself up and to get your shot off. I'm sure Darko is thinking about that too. Go ahead.
That's a good point. And this is the thing about this team. I use this term a lot, connector pieces. And we have a bunch of those. And with those connector pieces, you need finishers. And Gary was tasked to be that finisher that we need to get the connective pass, the end of the pass. He needs to learn to become a connector, like you're mentioning. He needs to be in the middle of a play, not the end of a play or the beginning of a play. And I think it's there. I think it's there. Like you meant, the stats follow the path of him doing that. It's not rocket science. Just move the ball.
Yep. And also, I mean, contract years do typically bring the best years. and he knows too. Like if he wants to get that big max or not max, but big mega payday for him, he's got to be a playmaker. He's got to show that he's more than what he's shown us over the past few seasons. And that's still a very good player. Don't get me wrong. Right. But if you want that big money, big money, right? This is the next step.
Oh, sorry. Quick question. Do you think our I always say this. I think if we had a 3-point shooting big, someone who could space the floor for him, it would go. It would light this team up. Anybody on this team, even Pascal, Scotty, if we had a 3-point shooting big,
if there's Miles Turner here, like we're not like the Raptors are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's a matter of fact, because now they're spacing for Pascal and for Scotty Barnes. I'm tired of watching Pascal Siakam stick candle in a phone booth.
Yeah.
Right. Like he is a 27 point per game player. His talent suggests that. His work ethic suggests that. His 3-point shot has to get better, because if that was better, then he would already be there. But his talent to me is that he is all NBA. He is 27 points per game. Now that's like a certain kind of player that can do that game in, game out, right? He should be 27 points, and we just know that. That's how it is. Exactly. But he can't do that because the spacing on the Raptors has been SHIT for so many years. And I mean, like we're hoping for movement and stuff like that. I understand why Nick Nurse approached last season the way he did. I kind of get it, because I think defensively, I think it was a little bit odd that he decided to be so hyper aggressive with the defense. But I can understand the logic with everything that was done last season. It didn't work, all right? Mm-hmm. But now Darko is tasked with doing something that Nick Nurse couldn't, and that is, how do you make movement happen? How do you optimize spacing on a team that doesn't have shooting? Mm-hmm. And what Nick did is like, he's like, we're going to put shooters in the corners. You're going to have Gary here. You're going to have Fred here. You're going to have OG in the other corner. And then you have Pascal and Scotty. That's what kind of the logic was. It doesn't sound that bad in theory, but obviously, you know, block and elbow defense, right?
And that's it.
It kind of though, like, I mean, teams make adjustments, and that's just kind of how it went, but it be what it be. Darko's here, and this is your task now, bro. This is your task. Good luck.
Good luck. But they do have Otto Porter now. They do have.
Hopefully they have Otto, yes.
Yeah, for the 5 games. I'm joking. But and then you have Grady as well.
So I mean, I'm not gonna stay here and like, you know, be all over for signing Yak. Yak's great. It's just then you have to have different pieces around Yak, right? You can't just like, this isn't like the, you know, mid-2000s New York Knicks, right? You can't just put a whole bunch of good players on the court and be like, all right, figure it out, we're good now. Like it's not like that. But yeah, I mean, for Gary, he's trying to develop a lot of different aspects, and I'd love to ask him like what he wants his best version of himself to be. Is it more like a Klay Thompson? Is it more like a Rip Hamilton? Like what kind of version is he approaching? And you might just say, hey, I want to be Gary Trent Jr. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that question flopped. But you get what I'm saying though. It's like, what are you trying to pursue as the final version of yourself? Because I mean, both kind of versions are great. Like peak Klay Thompson was ridiculous, right? And he may not ever get to like that kind of gravity as a shooter, but I mean, Klay didn't have like a huge game off the bounce, but because of his shooting gravity, he was able to get downhill and he's able to finish. And Rip Hamilton, his cardio was ridiculous. Like he was running around everywhere. So like, which one are you trying to kind of be? I'm not saying it's only those two versions. There's other players out there, but I think Darko is going to have a lot of fun with helping Gary develop, similar to a Desmond Bane, right? And you know, some of the research I had done on Darko leading into him being announced as a head coach was he wants like pretty much every player on the court to be able to, you know, be a DHO hub, work in the pick and roll, and just that way you have constant movement between the players. Some guys can spot up. You also have very good cutting, which is another area where Gary could probably develop a lot more, right? In DHO situations, you're doing a handoff. Oh, wait, I'm going to go back door. Now you got to lay up. It's like little things like that, right? That Gary could definitely could utilize more and help him get some easy buckets. Defensively, though, this might be a short conversation. Is he just better off being like this really aggressive defender because the lateral quickness isn't necessarily there to do anything else?
I mean, that's the luxury of being on a team like this. You know, you have so many great defenders around you. You know, and you can kind of pick and choose the style you want to play because you have OG, Pascal, Precious, all defensive upside. With OG already getting the recognition. Then you have Poeltl, a great defensive hub. Then you have Koloko, great rim protector. Yeah. You can go 8-9 deep on this roster of picking out good quality defenders at the position. So if we're focusing back on Gary, I believe he's best suited as just being a composed perimeter defender. Just stay down, do the best you can. To keep your offensive player in front of you,
Yeah.
Now, if he does get beat off the dribble, there's ways to send help because there's always a few layers to a team's defensive scheme, you know, and I don't know, like, I don't know if he can be a quality, like, lockdown defender, but because it's going to be tough because there's a lot of athleticism at that backcourt and quickness in today's NBA. But I wouldn't want to gamble on being aggressive, you know, or the chaos style of defense because I don't know. It just, to me, maybe you can add to this, but it just seems like defense like that means like you're kind of like saying that you have no chance. So let's get scrappy and hope for the best. I don't know. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Boucher and Hustle Play had mentioned a few times that when our defense is clicking, like, it looks awesome, but when it's not, it looks really, really bad. And that's what we saw a lot last season. What's best? I mean, there's also other people who have said that, you know, not Nick Nurse specifically, but Steve Clifford had mentioned at some point, he's like, you know, there's so much talent in the NBA now, you almost feel like you have to be extremely aggressive just because that way you're taking it to them as opposed to just taking what the offense is throwing at you. So there are other coaches who actually agree with how Nick was doing it, but it also would be helpful to have like a legit center, you know, and the defense was much better once Yak got there. So I think for Gary, as Darko has mentioned, you know, in previous times, not so much with the Raptors, but like his defensive philosophy is, all right, so keep guys out of the paint and limit corner threes. Right. The Raptors were able to do that pretty well once Jakob Poeltl got there. So, but at the same time, probably, you know, a more composed defense. Gary was typically guarding the secondary ball handlers or like the spot up guys and not so much the primary ball handlers. But if he is in the starting lineup, and I don't know if that's a given necessarily, I mean, it could be, it would make sense. But I think Dennis Schroeder also would have something to say about that as well. But, usually he's going to probably be like the point of attack defender, right? Considering what the Raptors and their ethos and everything like that. But I mean, also then you think about, you know, Jalen McDaniels, I think he's going to be a great defender too. So maybe you want him as a point of attack defender because he's that kind of versatile. So different options, but I mean, for Gary, it's just probably, you know, it probably goes to more of the fitness thing. The cardio thing is, you know, being as athletic as he needs to be to have that lateral quickness to keep up with, you know, some of the Devin Bookers and other shooting guards that are pretty damn good and they're pretty shifty, and he's got to be able to shift with them, shift back.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, anything else on Gary? Or this was a fun chat, thank you for joining.
Yeah, it was fun. Not much more. I know he has an important year. A lot of Raptors have an important year this year, that's the thing. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything falls into place, because like you said, contract year is when you usually get the best out of players, but you don't want that to become a selfish thing. We got to make sure we're on the right same page, all developing on things that help the team, not just your individual bank account, because that stuff will come. If you win, you're going to get paid too. So
yeah, right on. All right, man. So it is Running Off the Screen podcast. You can find them on Twitter at man they call Mac Cunningham. Thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Great chat.
Talk soon, y'all.